And welcome to the Sportscast, January 7th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe and hit the notification button in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you haven't yet, if you're listening to on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. I appreciate it very much. The time has come. The college football finale is tonight. The national championship, the granddaddy of it all, Alabama versus versus Clemson, where they re-meet again. They met about 2 years ago, and this is it. This is might be Nick Saban's best offense ever. Anyways, to join us and talk to us about Alabama's finale tonight is Mr. Justin Riley. I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Glad to be here on the biggest night of them all, especially for Alabama fans and just college football fans in general. This is exciting stuff. I compare it to WrestleMania. It's that big of a deal.
Oh, man, it has to be bigger than WrestleMania. Wouldn't it be?
So it's getting close.
Yeah. So, you know, all the drum beats over. It's coming tonight at Levi's Stadium, 8 p.m. Eastern. What do you expect from Clemson? What do you expect from Alabama? What type of game? Will it be a close game? Will it be a blowout? Will it be, you know, what is your prediction?
Man, I expect an all-out war, to be quite honest. This is becoming a rivalry in college football, a championship rivalry, as it will. And it's just amazing when these two teams lock up, which is 4 years in a row now, the third time for a national championship. It's been nothing short of entertaining. I expect both teams just to lay it all on the field. And if you look across the board, that these two teams really mirror each other. It's just uncanny just how much alike they are. You know, Bama is averaging 47.7 points per game. Clemson's averaging 44.3. Alabama's allowing 14.8 points per game, where Clemson is only allowing 13.7. Total yards, Bama's given up 295 to Clemson's 276. Bama's given up only 178 yards through the air, whereas Clemson's given up 183. That's pretty about as close as you possibly can get. And then we look at two of the best quarterbacks in the nation, arguably, going head to head. High completion percentage between the two of these. You got one of the best backs in college football, Travis Etienne, going against the running backs by committee backfield of Alabama. And then the defenses, basically an NFL squad on both sides. Man, it's just amazing just to consider how much talent's going to be on that field tonight.
It's definitely going to be a matchup between two teams that know each other pretty well by now. Alabama came back to beat Clemson for a national championship to cap the 2015 season. Clemson returned the favor in 2016. The championship before in 2018, the tie topped the Tigers in the All-State Sugar Bowl before upending Georgia for another title, and there are plenty of holdovers from those three, from Wilkins, who coaches, to the undeniable heavyweight fight comparisons. But a whole lot has changed. We're digging into the details. They say this is Nick Saban's best offense, and this is also Clemson's best defense. Do you think so?
Well, absolutely, and you are right in that. There's a lot of holdovers from both teams, man. It seems like, you know, the same players have been there just endless years. I mean, look at Hunter Renfro. I think he's been there about 10 years. I believe he's probably a professor now teaching classes, and he's been there so long. Absolutely, across the board on the defensive side for Clemson, man, you can't get any more powerful than what they're boasting on the field tonight. They're going to be without the services of Dexter Lawrence. Well, they still got Christian Wilkins, Clelin Ferrell, Isaiah Simmons at safety. They also got Bryant, Kendall Joseph at linebacker. And, you know, they've got a pretty loaded defensive backfield. So would be hard pressed to find a better defense out there. And then on the other side of the field, you got Alabama's offense. Man, arguably the best offense, like you said, that Saban and his crew have ever put together, or ever imagined. Tua Tagovailoa and his host of receivers have just put on an air show like we are not used to. Usually in the past, it was ground and pound with the occasional pass. Not anymore. It's just scorch it down the field with Tua all day and all night, man. It's just been amazing to see what they've been able to do. And it's not just one player. It's not just two players. It's several players. Now, the running game isn't quite good stat-wise as they typically are, but it does not detract from how good they really are. It's just the receivers had just been putting on a show and stealing the thunder, as it were.
Alabama's X-factor is safety Deontay Thompson. He will have his hands full with all the Clemson receivers, but Hunter Renfrow is another animal. Thompson can ask his predecessor, Micah Fitzpatrick, about that. Fitzpatrick is a first-round pick and perhaps the best defensive player back ever to come through Tuscaloosa, was torched by Renfrow in the team's three previous playoff matchups, where he caught a combined 22 passes for 211 yards and four touchdowns, including the winner in 2016. This game bearing an 18-year of eligibility will be Renfro's last chance to hurt the Tide, and it's up to Thompson to stop him on those pivotal third downs and red zone opportunities where he has been particularly effective. How important will that matchup be?
Well, it's very important. Hunter Renfrow might not be quite as flashy as a lot of receivers are in college, but the fact is that guy is a warrior. He is a former walk-on who's been playing ever since his freshman year, and he did do some pretty amazing things against some quality players like Minkah Fitzpatrick, as you brought up earlier. His stats aren't quite, eye-capturing, but the fact is he gets it done. He's a guy that is very reliable. When you need the big play, he's usually there. And if you're out of position, he is going to make you look silly, especially underneath. So just great, phenomenal player, incredible story as we watch him and his last game as a Clemson Tiger. Deontay Thompson is going to have his hands full tonight, not only with him, but he's also going to have Justin Ross to hold accountable for, as well as T. Higgins. So he's going to have his hands full, but I feel like Deontay is very capable, definitely worthy of the first grade first-round grade that he is receiving from scouts, and he's definitely going to earn it tonight.
Another factor tonight is the injury of Christian Miller. Do you think he'll be available tonight?
You know, I've been going through various reports, and Saban has said that his status is doubtful. Christian Miller is saying he's ready to go, but there has not been any solid confirmation as to what he'll be able to contribute tonight. So more than likely, I feel like he's going to be out. Now, if he does play, I feel like he's going to be in a very limited fashion. If you've never suffered a hamstring injury, especially to the degree that he seemingly suffered, it's a very hard thing to come back from.
Tua Tagovailoa, yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying it's very hard to come back from. It takes just weeks of therapy, as well as just a lot of time working on your confidence and your initial burst of speed. It's really hard from an explosion standpoint to really be effective when you're nursing a hamstring.
Here at the Sportscast, we've been talking about it, debating about Tua Tagovailoa and his talent, and some people say that he doesn't work well under pressure. Do you think that could be a problem tonight?
I don't believe that at all. The only time that I feel like Tua Tagovailoa has been lacking in his production has been when he's been hurt, when an injury or injuries have noticeably affected his game. I don't feel like that when in pressure situations that he's a guy that's going to fold. He doesn't do that. As a matter of fact, in some of the most intense pressure situations he's faced, he's delivered if he hadn't been hampered by injury. And a lot of people are, I guess, making that claim based on the performance against Georgia. And again, I remind you that he was hurt. So I think that he's a very intelligent player, a great leader. And when he's put in situations where he has to carry the team, he's more than capable.
Another team that we have to look out tonight that he might come up is Jalen Hurts. Do you think we'll see some minutes from him tonight?
I think so. From a fan standpoint, would like to see him used in more packages this game. In this previous game against Oklahoma, he was used in the first half as a receiver, quarterback, running back, what have you. And then the second half, we didn't see any packages with him in it. I think that it needs to be continued in this game. I think just to keep Clemson's defense honest and keep them guessing and cause a little bit of confusion. And I think as a leader, you've got to have him in there. He's got to be on the field. And I think he's got to come up with some kind of packages to keep Clemson off balance.
Another star from Clemson is Trevor Lawrence, the Rise. Some people say that he might be better than Deshaun Watson. How much of a threat will he be for Alabama?
I wouldn't quite label him as better than Deshaun Watson quite yet. He's just a freshman, and to put him at that level, if not higher, that's just insane at this point. Could he possibly be? Remains to be seen. I think he definitely has some intangibles. I definitely think he has the talent to possibly get to that point, but I think it's kind of unfair to say that right now. But aside from that, Trevor Lawrence is definitely a really good quarterback. Makes good decisions. Didn't really have eye-popping stats right now to go with the claims that are going with him. But he each game has been getting better and maturing more and more, and is playing with a lot more confidence. And as we saw against Notre Dame, he has elevated his play greatly. He carved up that Notre Dame defense pretty well. And if he's given time, he's going to call some fit for Alabama.
Alabama wins if Josh Jacobs, Damian Harris, and Najee Harris combine for 200 yards or more. Would you agree?
I don't think that necessarily it's going to fall on in the hands of Najee, Josh, and Damian, per se. I think it all comes down to Tua Tagovailoa and how he's able to perform. And by extension, how well is that offensive line going to block for him? You know, this is a much different animal that we're facing this week as opposed to Oklahoma. Let's just face it. Oklahoma's defense was not up to par. This defense is. So we're going to really see how well this offensive line is going to protect Tua. And if the suspension of Deontay Brown is going to be noticeable. But I think it falls on Tagovailoa. I think that Alabama is going to have to win through the air at first, because that defensive line and linebackers of Clemson are going to be loading the box and coming hard. So I think it's going to be tough to find some running room early on. So that's why Alabama is going to have to wear that defense down through the air at first. But I do think Josh Jacobs is going to be a key, both running the ball as well as catching the ball too. He is the Mr. Everything back, and he's definitely the most talented back on the field, in my opinion. And I think he's going to be a key contributor to that offensive success, along with the receivers that Alabama has. Now, and I think this is where Alabama has a noticeable advantage over Clemson. Is Clemson has a couple of good receivers in T. Higgins and Justin Ross and Renfro, but Alabama has five receivers, Ruggs, Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy, Irv Smith Jr., Jalen Waddle, and then if you want to call it a sixth receiver, that'd be Josh Jacobs when he lines up at slot or catches balls out of the backfield. So it's gonna pose a big problem against this Clemson secondary as the game goes on.
Clemson wins if Tagovailoa spends some time on his back. And if Clemson's secondary can hold up in coverage and force Tagovailoa to his second or third options, that should give the pass rush enough time to make him more than a bit uncomfortable. Do you think that's how Clemson could win?
Absolutely. I think that if Tagovailoa is put in situations where his passes are hurried and not quite on point, or he's fighting for his life because he's got guys in his face constantly, I think that's going to make has going to have a big effect on just how productive this offense is going to be. So yeah, if you are able to rattle Tagovailoa and get him out of sync, it's going to be tough sledding for Alabama, because if they can't get going through the air, it's going to be even more so harder to run against an already amped defense if they're at the point of where they're getting into his face and putting him on the ground.
Tim Tebow, you know, has been having some crazy predictions these past couple of years. He says it'll come down to quarterbacks, but he really thinks deep down that Alabama will win. Do you agree with him?
I think it does come down to quarterbacks. I think Tua is going to have to be healthy. He's got to be able to make his throws. I'm not thinking that he's going to have the success that he found against Oklahoma. I think that he's going to get his yards in spurts. I think that he's going to have to be healthy. He's going to have to be on his A game. And it does come down to Trevor Lawrence, too. He is a freshman, and he has not played a defense like this. And if Trevor is being manhandled by Bama's defense, it's going to be very hard for him to overcome that. If Alabama is able to get penetration and get some sacks or rush throws or, cause some lost downs here and there, it's going to allow two or more opportunities to put points on the board and the offense to just get out of the garage and head down the interstate and not look back.
How would you rate this game compared to, you know, like the other tough games? We don't know sure if they were tough or not, but, you know, compared to Oklahoma, Georgia, and LSU.
It's definitely at the top. This is definitely a big, big rivalry game. Clemson is number two in the nation, undefeated for a reason. Say what you will about their schedule. Say what you will about Alabama's schedule. I believe if you had to compare Clemson to anybody else, it probably would be Georgia, except Clemson's got a much better defense. It's got to be number one as far as strength of team. A different animal than Oklahoma. Oklahoma is a one-trick pony. They're all offense, no defense. Clemson is very balanced, good on offense, great on defense. So I would say they are heads and tails above some of the other opponents that we have come across.
It should be a quite interesting game. It should be very close. We'll see if we'll get a nail biter like last year's national championship.
And it could very well go that way. I fully expect that.
Well, anyways, are you ready to move on to other sports news?
Well, let's go ahead and do that.
What's
talk
the predictions
for Bama?
Yeah, towards the game predictions. Dwayne Haskins declared to the NFL today. Do you think he'll be the top quarterback for the NFL draft?
I think so. I really believe he's going to be the first quarterback taken. As we've talked about in previous discussions and I've heard from your previous podcast, this is just not a very heavy quarterback pool when it comes to the NFL draft this year. You got Dwayne Haskins, and then you got Drew Locke. And then really past that, there's really no one that really that stands out in my mind. Some people might argue Will Greer. I think he's going to fall to the mid rounds, but yeah, this draft is Dwayne Haskins' draft. Will he be the first player picked? Not quite sure. I think there's some other people of great value there, or greater value there, but I do believe that he will be the first quarterback taken.
Do you think if Kyler Murray changes his mind to go to the NFL, how high in the draft do you think he can go?
Well, to be honest with you, to piggyback Ty and some other folks too, I don't believe that he's going to be a quarterback in the NFL. I think that has to do with his height and his body weight. And he definitely is a great athlete, and I do believe that he would go probably in the mid rounds as an athlete, as possibly a wide receiver, maybe a running back, or perhaps a kick slash punt returner. I just don't see him as a quarterback, especially one that would be considered very high. He had noticeable problems against Alabama, and Alabama's got guys that are pretty tall, pretty big, and that's the majority of what he'd be facing in the NFL. And he had his passes altered. He had passes batted down. He wasn't very successful in the pocket. Most of his success when he had it was when he rolled outside. So I think he'd have a tough time being a quarterback in the NFL. But I think as an athlete, he would be drafted. But I don't think that it would warrant him putting his baseball pursuits on hold.
Yeah, one thing we have to look at, you know, who knows, he could play both sports, but it's been a while that we've seen a player play both sports since maybe Deion Sanders. So we'll see.
And nobody did it better than primetime.
Yeah, and also Bo as well. So last night the Chicago Bears lost against the Eagles. The kicker Cody Parkey. He kicked the ball, and he just like the ball hit the goalpost. And looks like Trevin Hester from the Eagles had a hand on it. What were your thoughts about that final play?
Man, you couldn't ask for anything better from a dramatic standpoint. You know, Cody Parkey, actually, this isn't his first time this has happened. Unfortunately, he's kind of had a bad year when it comes to some field goals, especially in a situation where it determined the outcome of a game. The Eagles' magic was flying high, and I don't think that the Eagles are going to be denied right now. And just the resolve that they showed yesterday was just truly incredible, and it just shows that this is a team that's trying to say, yeah, hey, don't sleep on us. We're the defending champions for a reason, and we're going to be here a little bit longer. And I think that they enforced that will upon Chicago.
You think they have a chance against the Saints?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. I think the Saints are a much better team. But this is a playoffs, man. Anything can happen at any time. You can forget about stats and all this and that. I do believe that New Orleans has the edge, and they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. I think that it's going to be a very hard-fought game.
Also last night, the Ravens fell to the Chargers 23-17. We saw Lamar Jackson had a lot of turnovers, and the last play, you know, he had a fumble. What were your thoughts about Lamar Jackson's first playoff game? Do you still think he's the future of the Ravens?
I don't know quite sure if he's a future yet, but I do feel like that he has been catching a lot of unnecessary flack from NFL supporters and a lot of Ravens supporters too. I'm very upset about that. It's not all on Lamar Jackson. It's a team effort. And, you know, the Ravens shouldn't have waited till late in the game to decided to start playing. And, you know, yeah, that last play was a heartbreaker, and it kills you to watch it, and you hate it for Lamar Jackson. But I can't put it all on his shoulders. Do I think he's a future? I think in order for him to be the future and to be the guy going forward, he's going to have to develop his passing game. And as we all know, you can't be one-dimensional very long in the NFL. People adjust way too quickly. If Lamar is able to develop his passing game and become a much better passing quarterback, along with the additional runs here and there, yeah, he's going to be a very good one. But as far as I'm concerned, jury's still out. But I want to know that it's not his fault completely that the Ravens fell short yesterday.
Young quarterback, definitely, you know, is definitely he'll get a pass on that. Obviously, you know, we didn't expect him or expect the Ravens to move on, even though they had home field advantage. But we'll see what happens. Cowboys defeated the Seahawks 24-22. Do you think this Cowboys team can go deep?
I think they can. I think they're playing with some fight and just grit right now that I really wish they would have used against Indianapolis some games back. But that's neither here nor there. They're playing with a lot of confidence. That defense is really playing well. It's going to be hard for them to go deep with some injuries they have at wide receiver. We saw a gruesome injury to one of their receivers the other day. I'm glad I actually missed that play. I'm better off for not seeing it. But they're going to have someone else step up at receiver to take pressure off Amari Cooper. Defenses are going to be keying on him. I feel like this is the time that Tavon Austin is going to have to step up. He seems to be in much better health now, and this is a time where the Cowboys need him the most. Cole Beasley isn't quite 100% yet. Definitely going to need a contribution from him. But I do feel like they can beat the Rams and could possibly be in the NFC Championship game.
Who's more important, Zeke or Dak?
I would have to say Dak, man. He is their quarterback. He is their leader of the team. He's a very heavily criticized leader of that team. A lot of which is probably unfair. But if he goes down, you don't really have someone with the experience that he has with the leadership that he has coming in and the playoffs. To lose a key position like quarterback, it can kill you quick.
How much of an impact has Amari Cooper, a former Alabama player, has brought to the Cowboys?
He's got them in the playoffs, to be quite honestly, because he actually added offense to the offense. And what I mean by that is he added that missing dimension, and that was in the passing game. Up until that point, the offense was floundering. There really wasn't any big receiver to take pressure off Dak and to take pressure off of Zeke. And defenses, you know, were keying on Zeke and Dak. And there wasn't that big-time receiver to bail them out and to keep defenses honest. Bringing Amari Cooper in there resurrected that offense and has allowed them to go to another level and has allowed Zeke to go to another level. So yeah, he was the most pivotal addition of that Cowboys offense this season.
The combination of youth, you know, with Dak and Amari and Zeke, it feels like everything's coming together.
I believe it is. But the youth needs to go from youth to matured veteran. You know, they've gotten by so far But this is a time where they need to go to that next tier. Can they do it? Don't know. We will see.
You think they have to do it this year?
I don't think they have to. I think a lot of people want them to, especially a lot of the Cowboys fans and a lot of people who are really watching the coaching situation at Dallas. I feel like a lot of people feel like the Cowboys have got to do it all now, or there's going to be some talks of coaching changes there. So I honestly don't feel like this is the time. I feel like Jason Garrett needs another year with this offense and probably adding a few other key pieces to really take it to the next level.
Which they're missing one of their main players for the offensive line. I think it's Kendrick is his first name. I got to see here. I think the Cowboys are definitely looking like the 90s team. It really resembles a lot of it. So we'll see what happens. Their next game is against the LA Rams. Is a possible – I mean, Rams have not done well. They're going to neutral ground, I would say. Coliseum has not filled out, but we'll see how the Rams fans come out. And college news, Cliff Kingsbury from USC was reportedly blocked by USC to get have interviews with NFL teams. What were your thoughts about USC's behavior towards that? And do you think Cliff will be a great fit for the NFL?
I think the whole dramatic show of USC is getting tired and overdone. To be honest with you, I don't think that Cliff is quite ready for the NFL. He couldn't really get it done at Texas Tech, at least not to the extent that would give me confidence in him leading an NFL team. I think he's an excellent coordinator. I think he needs to spend some time under a really good coach, maybe even a legendary coach.
Like Mario Cristobal.
Really spend time. I don't know about that. But a seasoned veteran, someone who's at the top of the coaching industry right now, who can really spend some time teaching him and maturing him and growing him. And then after that, give him another shot at a head coaching position. But I don't feel like he's ready for the NFL yet.
And what is the future for USC like? You think USC, it's a little bit toxic over there, or do you think they have some potential in the future?
I think it's absolutely toxic the potential is there because they have an unbelievable stable of talent. But obviously they're not being coached well. They're not being developed. Things are not getting done. And this coming season is the be-all, end-all. Put together or bye, there is potential, but I don't believe that Helton is the one who's going to get it done. They're going to have to get someone who is a big name in college football, who's a legend, who's going to completely change the culture of the way things are right now and just revitalize that program. And also to develop the players to the level they need to be to excel.
The USC of old. We'll see if we could see them again. Also, we'll squeeze in one story. Houston hired Dana Holgorsen for head coach. What are your thoughts about that?
I'm kind of blown away by that, quite honestly. That's not something that I would have ever seen coming, nor would I picked it in a million years, but I'm not quite sure about that, to be honest with you. Doesn't have my vote.
Oh, okay. Well, there you have it. We're heading towards the end of the show. Are you anything else before we head into game predictions?
Let's jump right to it, man.
Let's get started. Let's start with NFL. Of course, this weekend is the NFL divisional playoffs. We'll go for the Colts at the Kansas City Chiefs.
I like the Colts in an upset. I feel like the Kansas City Chiefs Well, they're putting all kind of crazy numbers and all flashy and rah 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 Sports Center highlight. They have zero defense, and I'm sorry, if you got no defense, all that offense ain't gonna mean a hill of beans. And I believe that the Colts are playing better right now, and I think they're gonna get it done.
You make a good thought. I think the Colts, you know, can expose Kansas City's defense and got Andrew Luck. You know, he's a star-studded, he's a first-tier quarterback.
Andrew Luck, I like that advantage alone is one of the main reasons I like the Colts in this, because he has playoff experience. He's been there. You know, Mahomes does not. He's still a young, inexperienced kid, just a little wild, not quite settled yet. Whereas Andrew Luck is the guy who's been there a while, and he is settled, and he knows what it takes to win the playoffs.
The Cowboys at the Los Angeles Rams.
I got to go with the Cowboys in this one. I like the way they played against Seattle. I like the way that they've played the second half of the season, and they continue to play with the poise and the determination and grit they've been playing with. I feel like they're going to beat the Rams.
That would be a shocker, but if they do, Dallas is the real deal. The Chargers at the New England Patriots.
I like the Chargers. I like what they've been doing this year. But at key points where they really could have done greater, they fell short. You know, especially when it came to losing some games they really shouldn't have, and could have, and definitely affected their seeding and placement in the playoffs. I've said this before, until proven otherwise, New England is the team to dethrone. Are they playing as well as a typical New England team does? No, not necessarily, but it's New England. And until they're knocked off their throne, they will defend and defend well. So I believe New England's going to win.
Yeah, that's one of the games that everyone's looking at closely, but we'll see what happens in New England. The Flying Eagles at the New Orleans Saints.
I think that out of all the games to watch this weekend, that's probably going to be the one to watch. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. I think Nick Foles is going to try to will his team to victory, and they're going to respond, and they're going to play really hard for him. But I really feel like this is New Orleans' year, and after that debacle last year against Minnesota, they have been more determined and more driven and more Drew Brees inspired than ever. So I feel like Drew Brees, old age and all, is going to take the narrow, narrow victory.
Wow. The Saints defeat the defending champions, Eagles. Finally, the best and the last, Clemson versus Alabama at Levi's Stadium tonight for the national championship.
You know what? I've heard a lot of talk about how this is bad for college football, and I've just really downplayed this game. Some people saying that, you know, we don't even want to watch it. You know what? Don't. You know, if you've got a problem with Alabama and Clemson, beat them. To be the man, woo! You got to beat the man.
Beat the man, that's right.
And, you know, everybody has been whining and complaining about getting the best teams in there. The best teams. You know, we need playoffs. We need this. We need that. You know, it's not fair. We got the best teams. Well, you've got the two best teams they're playing right now for fourth year in a row, third championship. The two best teams are there, so quit whining. And like I said, if you want to do something about it, rise up. But as far as, from a spectator standpoint, this is great, man. Great, great rivalry. And, you know, it's just amazing to see just how entertaining this series has been. With the exception of last year, but the other three title games, the other two title games have been nothing short of phenomenal, and you really don't know who's going to take it home until that last second ticks off of the game clock. And like I said earlier, these teams just mirror each other so, so well. And, man, I love Dabo Swinney. I think he's one of the best class acts in college football, former Alabama player, and he's just doing a lot of great things. He's everything right about college football. For Alabama, the keys right now, like I mentioned earlier, got to keep Tua healthy. You got to give him time. You got to avoid costly mistakes and especially turnovers. They made some dumb mistakes penalties-wise this past game against Oklahoma, and it killed a couple of drives. You can't do that against Clemson, man. They're just too good. They're going to have to hit Lawrence in the mouth early and often, and they're going to have to force him to make mistakes. And if they sit back and allow him to have all this time in the pocket, he's going to do some not so nice things against the Bama cornerbacks. And Deontay Thompson can't do everything by himself. And I believe Alabama's going to have to wear down Clemson's defense with their wide receivers. Like I mentioned earlier, the advantage they have is they have multiple people at wide receiver, and I am throwing in our tight end as well as Josh Jacobs catching the ball too. And I think that's going to cause a major problem for Clemson. And they're going to have to wear them down early and then establish the run game late. I have some questions, you know, going into this game. Which team is going to be affected the most by the players who are absent? With Alabama, you know, it's Christian Miller on defense, and the offensive line, you know, Deontay Brown's going to be out. You know, with Clemson, you know, it's Dexter Lawrence, and you know, a couple other players. Christian Miller, if he's not able to go, you're looking at Dylan Moses is moving to outside linebacker. And then Jamie Mosley, who is a walk-on senior, is going to move to his spot. If Mosley sounds familiar to you guys, it should. He is the younger brother of former Alabama great and current Baltimore Ravens great linebacker, C.J. Mosley. And then which defensive line is going to be greater? Will it be Alabama's crew of Quinton Williams, Isaiah Buggs, Davis, and then have Anthony Jennings coming off the edge? Or will it be Wilkins, Farrell, and Bryant? It's going to be a chess match. And I just believe it's just going to be a hard, hard-fought game for the majority of the game. Now, however, I know you're probably saying, just get to it.
That's okay.
Game's in 2 hours. Get to it. I believe that Alabama and Clemson are going to go down to late in the game. I feel that Alabama is going to pull away late and come away with a victory.
Alabama comes and wins it. And what will be the scoreline?
Scoreline, I believe it'll be Alabama 38, Clemson 27.
38-27. Alabama wins it tonight with Tua Tagovailoa of winning the man, the player of the game, possibly.
We'll see.
And random question.
But certainly.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying, man, Clemson certainly is capable of doing this, man. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were somehow able to do it. But I think we're going to be in for a treat either way.
And random question. For soup, do you eat it or drink it?
I eat first, drink later. Meaning that I eat all the good stuff out, then I drink the leftovers. So
that's
I get a little bit of both.
That's a good answer. And what is your
task.
And what is your favorite soup?
Miso soup. Love that, man. Great Japanese soup.
That's some good soup. Justin, how nervous are you for tonight?
I see on a scale of 1 to 10, about a 25, sir.
Oh, man. You get excited. I mean, not as nervous as the game against Citadel, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty near that.
Well, I do think tonight's game is going to be very close. I think this might be the best matchup for Alabama all season. I thought that it would be LSU, but it wasn't. And I also thought Georgia was a good matchup as well. But this one might be closer. Trevor Lawrence, he's innocent, he's fresh, and I think he wants to take it on. But I still think Alabama's going to win it. I hope it doesn't go tight. I mean, I don't see it happening, but Clemson does have the best defense they've ever had. But it should be a good one. But it will be tight. Alabama will win it. We'll see if we'll see Jalen. I won't be surprised if they put him in, for plays that they need to, score some points. But now, which is better? Is it Clemson secondary or their D line?
They've got a great secondary, but I think their bread and butter is that defense up front.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, they got both ends. Well, anyways, let's not Absolutely. Worry about it. We'll watch tonight's game. Justin will be back on the recap maybe later this week or next week. But if we wait till next week, the fun will be over. So hopefully we'll have you back later on this week. How about it?
That's the plan, man. I'm for it.
And Justin, how can people reach you tonight, to watch the game with you for the national championship?
You can email me 121training, number 121, spelled out training at gmail.com. Or you can find me on Facebook /121training. But if you really want to talk to me, I will be on Twitter commenting throughout the night at 121training, which is also how you can find me on Instagram as well.
And if you're one of the few that are thinking about losing weight for the resolutions, you could also contact you, right?
Absolutely. It's that time. Give me a call.
I was in the gym this morning, and the gym was half empty. I mean, I thought it was going to be like full, to capacity, but it actually was not. It was just like another holiday day.
Hey, it's coming, buddy. I'm telling you.
It's coming sooner than you think. Anyways, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast. Please follow us on YouTube, on Twitter, and we have our website, thesportscast.net. Follow us there. Our podcasts are up there as well. And we'll be commenting, and hopefully we'll giving you some great recap of the game tonight, the national championship. The Sportscast loves college football, and we'll give you full coverage. We got Ty later on this week talking about recruits, hiring. LaFleur got hired by the Packers, so we have a lot of news in college, NFL, divisional playoffs, and, of course, the NBA started to steam towards the playoffs. Justin, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you, buddy. Roll Tide.